Yes, it was. Good morning and welcome to today's Sunday School. We will be continuing on Lesson 1, the Book of Jonah. And we're on Lesson 1, and we are on the overview of the Book of Jonah. Okay? Jonah, yeah. Jonah, the book of Jonah will be chapter 1, 1 to 3. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon this lesson this morning. Father, my ringing is real bad, but help me to do your will, Lord. It's a blessing. I thank you for the privilege, the opportunity that you have given me, and for the privilege and opportunity that you have given each and one of my brothers to be here, Lord. Father, we ask that through the book of Jonah, we may learn what you have for us, Lord. It's not just a story. It's something that you have for us, Lord. So be with us this morning, and we'll give you the honor and glory. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Amittai, Jonah was the son of Amittai. Amittai means truth. Okay? So if you have your Bibles and you want to put right there, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of, you could write it down, the son of just truth right there, so you know what that means. Saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it so to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You have a big old ship with three or four decks, and Jonah finds the deepest one that he can find, and he goes down there. Not only is he running away from the Lord, but he wants to go as far as he can away from the Lord. He's way down there. And later in the lessons, and it won't be today, I don't know when, but we'll find out where he's at. He's not on top of the boat, of the ship, looking around. No, he's fast asleep. Okay? Running away from the Lord. Most of us have heard the story of Jonah since we were little. Right? And sometimes they picture even Pinocchio in a big old whale with a light in there. He's got a whole bunch of room. And that is not true. Okay? The story of Jonah is true. But the skeptics use this story to contradict the word of God. Okay? They say, just like Satan, the snake, deceived Eve. Did God really say that? Let me tell you, those skeptic people try to contradict the inerrancy of God's word. The word is perfect from the beginning to end. There's no fault in the word of God. And if Satan can make us believe that there's an error here, he's got us. But the word of God is without error, okay? And it's perfect. And so Jesus right away puts a stop to it. In Matthew 12:40, Jesus himself, however, prophetically pointed to this story as an accurate fact. It's a fact of history when he stated in Matthew 12, 40. And he says, for as Jonah, he's telling the story, okay? For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He's comparing a true story that happened to what's going to happen to him. It's what's going to happen. On Wednesdays, back then, they would sacrifice the lamb, the sacrificial lamb. They would kill it. You know what time they would kill it? At 3 o'clock on Wednesday night. In the evening, they would kill the sacrificial lamb of God. And by 6 o'clock, everything had to be put away. Okay? So, on Wednesday night at 3 o'clock evening, Christ died for you and me, for the whole world. And then he spent all Thursday, 24 hours. Friday, 24 hours. Saturday, 3 days, 24 hours. And the Bible says that when the ladies went to the tomb the first day of the week, which was Sunday, he wasn't there, for he had risen from the dead, as he had said. And it's amazing. So he compares that story to what happened to Jonah. And so it was a true story, okay? The book of Jonah teaches us what John repeated 8 times in the book of Revelation. And he says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. You and I have ears. I mean, it's like, in a way, making fun of us. You dumb people saying this, in a way. You have ears. And he says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, and that means what God, is saying to you. And he says that if you read in Revelation 8 times, he repeats that. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says. He said it to clarify what he was saying. Sometimes we try to ignore. Yes, we are hearing, but it's not convenient for us, so we pretend that we're not hearing. Sometimes things go wrong, and it's not for our convenience, so we act that we didn't see that when we really saw it. And we need to be careful. Just as Jonah was pretending he didn't see, just as Jonah was pretending he didn't hear, sometimes we give a blind eye to what God has for us. Sometimes we give a deaf ear to what the Lord is telling us to do. Okay? Jonah's name, okay? It is essential that we build good reputation with the names that we have received. In Proverbs 22:1, the Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And then Solomon in Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment. I, as a Christian, before Christ came into my life, before I received Christ, I was known as a drunk, as a no good for nothing. And I would go and work and drink my money. But when the Lord saved my wife and I, my life changed. And I'm glad that my sons weren't born. So me and my wife waited about 2 years before we had our first son. And then we waited 2 more years. We had a second son. We waited 10 years and we had the third son. And my boys, I said, I will never, because I saw what drugs, what alcohol, what liquor did to my family and the families of my friends. I said, I will never show my sons who I was, but I'll show them who I am. My sons respect me. Now, am I perfect? No. My sons say, my dad is a godly man. And it's a great blessing to me. When people mention my name, I want them to see a godly man. So it's very important. Our names are very important. When you hear the name of Paul, what comes into your mind? A man that was very bold in preaching the word of God. And you see, when you hear the name of Adrian Rogers, I don't know if you guys, he's already gone home, but he's still preaching. Charles Stanley, okay? Billy Graham. What about our names? What do they mean to our families, to our neighbors? We need to be very careful. Now, what comes to mind if you hear the name of Adolf Hitler? Not good. Saddam Hussein. How many of you would like to name your sons Judah? No. Why? Because of their bad reputation. That name has to do a lot. So what do your name represent to your church, to your neighbors, to your family? When they hear your name, oh yeah, what a blessing that I can, in my mind, I remember my brothers and sisters, and it's a blessing knowing my brothers and sisters here at Harvest Baptist, knowing my brothers and sisters in other places where I've met people of God. It's a blessing when I hear their name. These, oh, do you remember? Yes. Oh, he was a good person. He's gone home. And this is what we need to see. I told you to write it right there. The son, Jonah, was the son of truth. The name Amittai or Jonah's father means truth. Therefore, Jonah was literally the son of truth. Okay? But unfortunately, as we shall see from the series of lessons, that Jonah was not very faithful with the truth that he received. Okay? In John 14:6, Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to me. Okay? And then in John 8:32, Jesus tells us, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So in reality, every child of God, okay, is the son of truth. Are you a son of Jesus Christ? You are the son of truth, because I am the truth, the way, and the life. And so we, like Jonah, are the sons and daughters of God. That's what he's pointing out. So God has given us his word, and he demands that we be faithful with it in our lives. He saved you. You have a name. You're a Christian. When they hear your name, oh yeah, those are Christians over there. And it's to why, like a Lot, a carnal Christian. He was saved, but he ran into a lot of problems because of his cardinal ways. If you get Abraham and you get Lot, remember when the three men came to warn the people that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he walked. They were in the streets. So Lot told them, come inside my house. You know what they said? We'd rather sleep in the streets than in your house. That's what he said. He said that because of his reputation. But he insisted and insisted, so he finally got them in. On the contrary, when Abraham saw them, he invited them in, and immediately they went inside his house. Why? Because the name Abraham represented a godly person. We need to be very careful with our lives. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Can you imagine? Jesus already prayed for you and me. Before we were born, he prayed for his people back then. This prayer is for you and me. Jesus has already prayed for you and me. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify, separate them. He has separated you and me, okay, to do his work. Separate, sanctify them through thy word, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. When God tells us to do something and we decide to go the opposite, we are going to run into turmoil. And it's not going to be very good. But you know what? God uses the preaching to bring us back. It's amazing how the preacher is preaching from up there. And you might be walking wrong with the Lord. Or you went through a trial. And somehow the preacher is preaching. But it sounds like he's talking direct to you. And you're saying, well, who told him? I'm going to talk to my wife. I'm going to talk to brother, see if he told him about my problem. When the Lord guided me to start the Spanish ministry at Faith Baptist, you know what I told the Lord? I said, well, Lord, and we went to visit Faith Baptist. And you know what I did? Like Jonah, I sat on the very back. And there was people there. I'll hide here and I'm comfortable. And the Lord was calling me to start the Spanish ministry. And now they have a bilingual church at Faith Baptist in Glendale. He said, no, you're not going to be the preacher, but I need you. For 10 years, you're going to be there. And what I said, Lord, I always had a problem with my hearing. I'm not educated. Okay? I'm not educated, Lord. I can't see good, Lord. I can't hear good, and I stutter, and my education, get somebody that's got a college degree. And you know what the preacher started preaching about Moses when Moses was making all these excuses? Lord, I can't talk. And the Lord said, did I not make the blind and the deaf? And did I not, am I not in control? So go. And so you know what? I got into turmoils until the word of God, the word of the preaching of God. God uses people to bring us back to him. Just like he spoke with Jonah. There never has been nor will there be a problem that the preaching of God's word cannot solve. So if you have a problem, God's going to bring us back. Okay? In Isaiah 55:11, it says that his word, speaking of his word, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. God will bring you back, just like he brought Jonah back. But how does that relate to us? See, God uses the preaching of his word to change lives. When you heard the word of God, did it change you? Or did you hear it and turn a deaf ear? Yeah, I know, but not today. But the Lord will never, if the Lord is calling you, he will not leave you alone until you do what he sent you to do. That, and if you want to run from the Lord, you're going to have a hard time until you say, you take that little flag out and say, Lord, I surrender to you. I give up. What do you want me to do? Okay, now this is what I want you to do, and this is what you're going to do, and I am going to be the one in charge. And when we do that, we see, Lord, how a fool I was into trying to run away from you. It's have you ever gotten a ladybug and put it in your hands, and that ladybug is trying to get away from you, and he goes, and you just keep turning it around, and he does. He winds up at the same place. This is what happens to you and me when we run away from God. We can't run away from God. And so when we get tired, I'll say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Okay? So we see the negligence of Jonah. How does that compare to us? Okay? Jonah was not very faithful to the truth he received. When God told Jonah, go, you know what Jonah said? No, I won't go. Okay? But sadly, you know what? We see that, but sadly, we often know exactly what God is saying. We know exactly what he wants us to do, but we willfully turn a deaf ear. We need to be very careful. We know. Sometimes the Lord is telling you, okay, come to church in the morning to receive a blessing. And then he tells us, come to church Sunday night to receive a blessing. Come to Wednesday night to receive a blessing. And my goodness, there has never been a time when I came to church that the message was boring. No, the Lord always has something for you. It is a joy coming and worshiping the Lord. It is a joy singing unto the Lord, hearing his word, sharing conversations with my sister. It is a blessing. There has never been a dull moment. But you know what? Sometimes we say, Lord, and you know that you're supposed to be in God's house. And God says, you know what? I need for you to help. There's many people working right now as we are here, people in the sound system, people up there in the choir, people out there. And the Lord is saying, I need you to go help outside. I need you to go. I need you to go past the tracks. And you know what we say, like Jonah? It's the pastor's job. It's the deacon's job. Lord, I'm not that educated. I know what to say. If you can't get a just give it to a person and say, I'll invite you to our church. And what I like, even if they don't come, you know what? The plan of salvation is on the back. So I know that they'll read it. And whether they come or not, whether they turn a deaf ear, they saw and heard the word of God. But sometimes we, like Jonah, we say, God tells us go, and we say, no. And then we suffer the consequences, and we get into turmoil, just like Jonah did. God was well aware of this condition in Jeremiah's days as well. He says in Jeremiah 5:21, here, look at what he said, and he's talking to God's people. He's not talking to the unbelievers. He was talking to Israel. They rebelled, and that's why they went through what they went. God, it says, hear now this, oh, it's amazing God called us foolish. I don't want God to call me fool. How do you feel? Hey, fool. No, it doesn't feel good. No. When God calls you fool, you better watch. So, wait a minute, Lord, what did I do? When God calls you a fool, when God calls us a fool, something's wrong. He says, hear now this, O foolish people, God's people, and without understanding, which have eyes. It's in a way making fun of you. You have eyes and you can't see. It says, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Turning a deaf ear. Do you think that Jonah heard God when he told him to go? Yes, but he turned a deaf ear. And when God tells us to go visit somebody in the hospital, when God puts it in your heart to call somebody, when God puts it in your heart to do something, do you say, I'll go? Or do you say, no? Remember those two sons, and God said, the father said, go into the vineyard and work. He had two sons. And he said, I'll go, but he didn't go. Okay? And the other one said, no, I won't go. But then he repented, and then he went. Which of those two did the right? Well, the one that obeyed his father. Are we obeying our father as he calls us as God's people? How many of you have heard, and we have done that with, did you hear what I told you? Have you ever heard a mom telling his child? Did you hear? My daughter-in-law, Elias, was playing with the toys, and he likes playing with toys, and he makes a mess. And mom said, okay, you can play with all those toys, but you're going to pick him up. Do you hear me? Yeah, he's playing with the toys. And he gets, wait a minute, sit down, look at me. Did you hear what I said? What, mom? He wasn't paying attention. I said that if you're going to take those toys out, you're going to pick them up. Did you hear me now? Oh, yes, mom. See, we need to not just hear, but do what is being told us to do. Okay? Going to run out of time, but we'll continue. I'm going to... when we disobey, and I'm going to stop here, but we'll continue with a woeful disaster when we don't obey. Disobedience never has a happy ending. Just ask what happened to Adam. Because he disobeyed. He was told not to do something. Did he listen? And you talk to Adam, it didn't go very well with him. Just ask Cain, Achan, Samson, or Saul. Okay? And this is where we're going to stop. with a woeful disaster, when we decide to disobey the Lord, there are consequences that are not going to make us very happy, very successful. So we need to be very careful when God is talking to us. It's not just a story. It's talking to us. And God wants us to listen so that what happened to Jonah won't happen to you and to me. I don't want to be swallowed by a fish. No. In reality, Jonah was swallowed by a submarine. He went underwater. He went at least 200-300 feet underwater. And we'll see that in the lessons to come. Okay? And he had a candle. He all this space. He was all there with the weeds and the stinky whatever that fish had eaten. And all slimy. It was pitch dark. And he was not comfortable at all. And this is what God will do to you and me. Not to punish us, but to bring us back when we disobey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless us with your word. And Father, as we study the book of Jonah, it's not a fairy tale. It's something that really happened. And we see, Father, that the when we hear the name of Jonah, instead of saying, oh, yes, we immediately say, oh, the guy that got swallowed by a fish, the guy that disobeyed God, Father, we don't want to be a bad example to our family members, to our wives, to our neighbors, and in our church. Father, help us to build a good reputation with our name so that when people hear our names, oh, yes, it sounds that person is a good person, instead of having a bitter taste of what we heard when we hear that name. Father, be with us and be with Pastor Cook as he continues with his sinuses. Father, thank you for the way that you have used him here at our church. Thank you for all he has done. We ask that you continue blessing him. May you open our hearts, our mind, so that through your Holy Spirit, through your word, you might speak to us, Lord. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. Thank you.